Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please.
And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Amen. God bless you. Good morning, Victory Church. How's everybody doing? Good. All right. Go Gators. Next year. Go Gators. Next year. If you need notes, there's one in your worship guide. If you need an extra one, raise your hand. The ushers will be glad to give you an extra note. We were watching that Charlie Brown Christmas. How many of you like Charlie Brown Christmas? Rebecca had it on the other night. We were watching it. And I have to be honest, I just was teared up just thinking about it. Charlie Brown and Linus talking about the gospel, and just, you know, it never gets old to me. It never gets just rote hearing those scriptures, how Jesus came to earth and what he did for us. It's more meaningful to me today than it's ever been. I remember the year I got saved, 1974. I got saved in late October, and that year, that Christmas, meant more to me. Even though I was 20 years old, you know how fun it is when you're a kid and wondering what you're going to get as a gift. All of a sudden, Christmas had a new meaning to me. All of a sudden, my eyes were open. Oh, my goodness. It's about my Savior. It's about Christ. It's about the one who came and forgave my sins. It took on a new meaning. And no matter, and I love the commercialization. People complain about the commercialization. I think it's great because it just builds it up more. You know, what better to celebrate and get commercial and get all excited about than the birth of our Lord and Savior? I'm all for it. Go for it, man. I love it. I love, man, I walked in Lowe's October 1st. They had their Christmas trees out. I'm like, this is awesome, man. Start in June. Doesn't matter to me. It's great. Christmas. What's Christmas all about? And we're going to tie this into this series called The Blessed Life. It's going to go through the month of December, wrapping it up Christmas Eve. I'm telling you, it's going to bless you. The blessed life. I've been thinking about this for a long time. That's the meaning of Christmas, is the fact that you and I can have a blessed life. Now, that's the way God intended it in the beginning. In the Garden of Eden, when he created, you look, there was no death. There was no suffering. There was no bloodshed. No mosquitoes. Come on, can I get an amen right there? And then things changed. Man, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. He knew it would happen. He set it up. He wanted us to have volition, free will, choosing good over evil. So they had to be a choice to make, and they made the wrong choice. He knew it was going to happen. But he did say, he described to us in great detail right there in the beginning, Genesis chapters 2 and 3, that when that happened, the Bible says, God said there was a curse came on the earth. And we can't talk about the blessing without talking about the curse. You really can't talk about heaven and really appreciate heaven if you don't realize you're escaping hell. And the blessing is very important, but you don't understand it if you don't understand the reality that there is a curse on the planet. It's not the way God wanted it. There will be a 1,000-year period coming up where the curse will be removed from the planet. That's not where we live today. It's not now. It's not now. But it was in the garden. But when they sinned, the curse came on everything. Childbirth, labor, the serpent, the power that God gave man, the authority. He gave it to this renegade angel named Satan. Lucifer was changed. The name was changed to Satan. And a curse came. But you see in Genesis chapter 2, in Genesis chapter 3, God knew it was going to happen. It didn't take him by surprise. He already had a plan. He said this. He said, the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. He was saying that there would be born, and it's borne out through Old Testament scriptures, that a virgin would be with child, and that child would put his heel on the serpent's head, he would trample on that curse. I love that Christmas song where it says, far as the curse is found. That's what Christmas is about. As long as there's a curse, we need Christmas. As long as there's suffering and pain and lack and dying on the planet, we need Christmas. Christmas represents the blessing that controverts the curse. And you and I need to understand that, because you could be a Christian and have the ultimate blessing of eternal life, but possibly miss out on some of the other blessings that are available to us in this life. And it doesn't mean you're not going to go to heaven. It means that in some areas we might allow the curse to continue to rule in our lives, where we actually have authority to put that curse under our feet, because we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. He's the head, we are the body, so he's still under our feet. We have to learn about that. That's what I want to talk about in the blessed life. Thank God for salvation. But I want to encourage you today to not just settle for salvation. Not just settle for the ultimate victory. Thank God for it. But let's learn to enforce some victory today on this planet and get some victory in some areas where maybe we have acquiesced and said, well, you know, I might not be getting victory in this area, but one day I'm going to go to heaven. Okay, you don't have to give up heaven to get the victory, but I have to admit to you that it takes some effort, it takes some knowledge, it takes some understanding, it takes some faith, it takes some spiritual dynamic force. It doesn't just happen. Getting saved didn't just happen. It took you pushing against the lie of the devil, saying, don't do that. Don't surrender your life to Christ. Did you think about that? Don't do that. For years, my aunt invited me to the Bible study, and the devil said, don't do that. I listened to him. Thank God one day I went, and God showed up and changed everything. That's what I want to talk about in this series, the blessed life. And that's, to me, what Christmas represents, that we can live a blessed life. The word blessed, or some variation of it, occurs in the Bible from the beginning to the end 465 times. That's a lot. That's a lot of times. Just to put in perspective what God thinks about this word blessed, he's trying to get through to us. He wants to bless us. To give you a perspective, the word heaven is used 455 times. So the word blessed, and we all like heaven, right?
Yeah.
That's an orthodox Christian concept. What Christian religion doesn't have the teaching and understanding of heaven? We accept that. But sometimes we reject this idea, and you even see this in Christian circles, sometimes kind of an attacking of the concept of blessing. Oh, no, I don't want that. Wait a minute. Let's just buy into what God's trying to give us. So the word blessed is used more than the word heaven. But we can't really understand blessing until we understand the curse. And the word curse, some people don't want to talk about it. I know, as a young Christian, I don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. I don't want to hear about the devil. I don't want to hear about the curse. I don't want to hear about suffering. Just give me the good news, all right? And the gospel is good news. But as you mature as a Christian, you understand that we can look into these things because we have the victory. So curse, the word curse occurs 177 times. And hell, the word hell, or some form of it in the Old Testament, Gehenna or Hades, 92 times. So you can see God talks about heaven a lot more than hell, but he makes us aware that there is a hell. And God talks about blessing a lot more than curse, but he makes us aware that there is a curse to avoid, there's a hell to avoid, there's a blessing to obtain, there's a heaven to obtain. So let's put it in context. These are two polar opposites. The more we get into the blessing, the less we get of the curse. The more we learn to receive the blessing, the less of the curse we have in operation in our life. The more we move toward heaven, the more we realize how much we enjoy not thinking about having to go to hell. These are two extremes. I heard about this lady. She went to meet one of her friends for lunch, and she sat down, and her friend said, oh, my goodness, look at that ring. Where did you get that? That must be a 10-carat diamond. She goes, yes, this is the Vanderburg diamond. It comes with a curse. She said, what is that? She said, Mr. Vanderburg. I think you turn the lights up now. They might want to take notes. It looks like a little dark. Is it dark in there? Huh? You need notes? I think you got... Have you ever heard of John Hagee? Years ago, it must have been, 15, 20 years ago, I heard him do a message on the curse, the blessing and the curse. And he brought into the discussion how that curses are passed down from generation to generation. Now, the Bible also talks about a curse being passed down to four generations. It also talks about the blessing being passed down 1,000 generations. But he did a study, and I'm just saying what he said. I'm not trying to make any type of political statement here, but he did a study of the Kennedy family. And apparently the patriarch was a man named Joseph Kennedy. He earned his fortune, according to the John Hagee study, through drug smuggling and alcohol smuggling during the years of Prohibition. So he made a lot of money. And what he was saying in this study was that the way he got his money, the money was cursed, and it brought a curse on the family. And I remember him going through the family genealogy, person after person, that I think none of them died like a natural death. They all had some kind of calamity, some kind of disaster, some kind of bad thing. We all know that John F. Kennedy, he sent it to the office of president, he was assassinated. His brother Robert was assassinated. Ted, another brother, had a bad accident where a woman died in his car. Another one of the family was accused of murder. I don't remember if he was convicted. One of the grandchildren's died in a plane crash, and another one of the Kennedys. And I don't remember all of it, but he just went through person after person and how they died and what happened to them, and he called it the Kennedy curse, that a curse went down through the genealogy. Well, the Bible also talks about how the blessing, and it goes even back to the blessing of Abraham, can be passed down to you and I. And we understand that Abraham, just like a curse can be passed down to four generations, a blessing can be passed down to 1,000 generations. And I'm glad to tell you today that if maybe you've come under a curse, that the curse could be broken through the blood of Jesus Christ. It doesn't have to go through you. It doesn't have to affect you. It doesn't have to be passed on from you to the next generation. You can turn that around by faith and receive the blessing of Abraham and start passing down a blessing to the next generations. And that's true for any family, the Kennedy or any of us. We can tap into the father of faith, Abraham, use the faith that he has. The Bible says clearly it wasn't just him following the rules. It was by faith that he received the promise. And it says that same faith resides in us, and we can be heirs of the blessing of Abraham. Praise God, I want some of that. Now here's, is this just random? Is it the curse just random? Let's look in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and see how God kind of ties this in. Deuteronomy 30, we're going to read verses 8 through 20, a long passage, but you'll see why we're reading it. And you shall, again, God speaking to his people, obey the Lord, observe all his commandments which I command you today, then, it's an if, then, if you do this, then this is going to happen. Then the Lord your God will prosper you abundantly. See, it's not willy-nilly. It's not random. It's just, oh, that person, you know, they just get all the... No, it's not like that. There are conditions. If an if-then statement is a conditional statement. If you meet the first condition, you receive the second half of the result of the equation. Then the Lord God will prosper you abundantly in all the work of your hand, in the offspring of your body. What is a common theme that you hear about the Jewish people? That they're prosperous. Oh gosh, everything they do, it just, maybe there's something to that. This Abrahamic blessing, if they don't violate it and get it over into the area of the curse, it keeps. And you know what? You and I can tap into that same thing. It's not through the physical bloodline, it's through the spiritual bloodline, the blood of Jesus Christ. Offspring of your cattle, the produce of your ground, for the Lord will again rejoice over you for good, just as he rejoiced over your fathers, if you obey the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which are written in the book of the law. That's why I encourage you to read the Bible. If you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart, isn't that what Jesus said, the great commandment? Love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. and soul for this commandment which I command you today. It's not too difficult for you. Don't say, oh, well, you know, I can't do that. He says, right, it's not too difficult. It's just a mindset. It's just a decision to go after the things of God instead of the things of the world. And then he said, it's not out of reach. The word is, oh. See, I took a couple verses out for time's sake, but he says, you know, don't say, well, it's up, I can't go to heaven or I can't reach that. Don't say it's too far. He brings it right home. He says, it's right here. It's in your mouth. What's coming out of my mouth? Oh, nothing ever goes right for me. He said, change your mouth. Change what's coming out of your mouth. Don't go around in the mully grubs. Now, you need to have some people in your life that you can be honest with and open with. But not everybody. Not the cashier at Publix when she says, how are you doing? Well, let me tell you. But no, that's not. She don't want to hear that. She don't need to hear that. You're only as sick as your secrets. You need to be open with somebody, but not everybody, all right? And we need to watch what's coming out of our mouth. There's somebody in my life that I can be open and honest with and candid and tell them everything. But there's nothing wrong with speaking faith continually out of your mouth and saying that's it. You know, you might be going through a hard time and the cashier at Publix asked me how I'm doing. There's nothing wrong with saying, blessed and highly favored. God's hand is upon me. Good things are going on. You say, you're lying. No, I'm speaking words out of my mouth that have life and death. The Bible says life and death is in the power of the tongue. I'm speaking what the Bible has said over me, not what I'm going through at the moment. Do you understand the difference in how to do that? That's very important in what he's saying. In walking in the blessing is watching your mouth and what you're creating. You're creating. Words are creating. Have somebody that you pour your heart out with, but the rest of the time, speak what the Bible says, the good things that God says is going to happen to me. Start speaking those things continually out of your mouth. Life and death is in the power of life and death is in the power of the tongue. Amen. And you'll eat the fruit thereof, the Bible says. The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Why? Because when you believe yourself more than you believe anybody else. Did you know that? One time, we used to have a gas pump behind our house because the trucks, the ice cream business was right there. And my dad bought this Ford Galaxy 500 station wagon about 1968. Can anybody remember those? 392. I mean, that was a screamer, man. That thing had about, it had probably 400 horsepower. And it had no weight in the back end. And I couldn't wait for when my dad would come back. And he'd bring the car in. He'd say, gas it up. See, I wait till they go in the house because all you had to do is go from here to there. But you never go from here to there. I mean, when you're 10 years old, right? You go around the yard a little bit. If he's not looking, I go out in the back field. And if it rained, you slide it around. Anyway, I was practicing my hook slides one day. I was getting pretty good at sliding, you know, sliding. Unfortunately, I was practicing my slide and hadn't perfected it, and I slid into the gas pump. We had a gas pump. Knocked the gas pump over, put a dent in the back of the almost brand new Galaxy 500, and I immediately began concocting a lie. Have you ever done that? Come on. No, y'all never done that. Don't admit it. Don't admit it right here in church. But I started coming up with a plan. We had these racks. I straightened the gas pump out. And it was old beat-up gas pump anyway, so you couldn't tell. But the dent in the back of the Ford Galaxy was quite obvious. So I concocted a plan. We had these racks that we rolled the ice cream around with. And I put it in a certain spot right there, right on the edge of the asphalt. And sure enough, my dad comes out. First thing, what happened? I said, one of these racks started rolling, and it headed over, and before I could get it, it went into the back, and I rehearsed it, and I went over it, and I practiced the whole, come on, don't look at me like that, come on. You did it too, come on, anybody ever done something like this? Three of you, that's good. I'm glad the rest of it. I had it all planned out, I had it fabricated in my mind, and do you know what? I went over it in my mind so much, the next day, I couldn't remember what actually happened. Did you ever do that? I thought, did I really wreck it, or did the rack hit it? Really? I said it so many times, the truth got clouded. Why? Because you believe yourself. And my dad came out, and I told him the rack ran it. And it looked like the rack hit it, and I had a rack sitting there, and it was all planned out. And so, he was mad at the rack instead of me. Praise the Lord. And I never did get in trouble for that one. But it's all right, because I did get in trouble for some stuff that I didn't do. So it evened out. The word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, because you believe what you say. That's important. Because do you believe the word of God? Does the word of God say some things, promise some things that you haven't experienced yet? I submit to you, if you start saying a higher truth than the truth that you're living in, you'll move into the higher truth, because you believe what you say. Your heart will be changed. You'll receive it, because faith takes hold, and you'll receive what you want to have that's in the word of God. Amen. The word is near you in your heart. Now, you can't just say anything. It has to be, have some basis in reality, which, of course, the word is, that you may observe it. See, I set before you today. Look at this. This is very important. I thought I'd get done with this message, but I got a whole month to finish this up. This is very, very important. Now, look at this. I set before you today two sides, okay? Life over here. Life and prosperity, death and adversity. Life and death. Prosperity. Ooh, that's a bad word. And even some Christians, you better get your scissors out and start cutting a bunch of pages out of your Bible. Because I didn't make this up. Yes, God wants us to prosper. The right way. With the right heart. Where it doesn't own us, we own it, and we use it to be blessed and bless others. But that's the two sides that he's saying the choice is, in what we think and what we say, what we believe, how we act, our decisions. And he puts over on one side life. He puts over on the other side death. How many want death? Nobody. How many want life? Yeah. Okay, great. So that means you want prosperity. How many want prosperity? Good. How many want adversity? That's what I like. I really like adversity. How many like adversity? You want adversity. That's what you pray every morning. Lord, just give me some adversity today. I just really need some adversity, because it's on the same side as death. It's the stuff you don't want. It's going to come, because the earth is under a curse. Don't pray for it. It's already coming. Pray for winning over what it is to end up on this side, life and prosperity. But if your heart turns away, so it's a choice. Don't just say, that's just my fate in life. No. Back up and look at what's coming out of my mouth. What's in my heart? What do I believe? What are the decisions that I've made? How am I not lining up with God's will and God's desires? Maybe I'm opening the door to this, because we're going to see, if we get that far today, there is some things that we can do to close the door to the curse. And we need to do that. There's enough curse out there that you don't even have to, believe for. We don't want any more than's already out there. We don't want to open the door to the curse. We want to close the door to the curse, open the door to blessing. If your heart turns away and you'll not obey, so yeah. To come into the kingdom of God is a faith. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to do anything. You just believe. But to get the blessing, we're going to have to do some things. We're going to have to obey to walk into this area that we all want to walk into. If your heart turns away and you'll not obey, but you're drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you're going to perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land where you're crossing the Jordan to enter to possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And then he says, there's nothing you can do about it. Oh, I'm sorry. It doesn't say that, does it? It says, so choose the good side. Choose life in order that you may live. And watch this, you and your descendants. It passes on to your descendants and generations. By how? How do I do this? Lord, can you tell me? Why didn't you tell me? Yeah, he told you right here. By loving the Lord your God, by obeying his voice, by holding fast to him. These are not conditions to getting saved. These are conditions to inheriting the blessing and cutting off the door, closing the door to the curse. loving the Lord your God by obeying his voice, by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days. What are the conditions? Love the Lord. Words, he mentioned words. He mentioned obedience. He mentioned worship, what we worship, what our heart goes after. Now look at this. I would be remiss if I didn't bring this verse in right here, because it's very clear here, the blessing and the curse, and one thing that you and I either do or don't do that either opens the door to the curse or closes it, and opens the door to blessing or closes it. Malachi chapter 3. God speaking to these same people, he says, from the days of your fathers, you've turned aside from my statutes. You haven't kept them. Return to me. I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how? How do we return? What do I need to do? Anybody ever thought, what do I need to do? And then God says this, will a man rob God? Think about that. Can I rob God? Is it possible to rob God? Yeah. What if I don't give him time? What if I don't give him the honor that's due him? What if I don't give him respect? What if I don't trust him? And then he goes on. You're robbing me. And you say, how do we rob you? And then he says, in tithes and offerings. Tithes, let me tell you, there's three types of giving taught in the Bible. A tithe is a tenth of our increase. If you receive it, if you gain it in war, if you find it, if you earn it, increase is called, the tithe is also called the first fruits. Whenever there's increase, the first goes to God, a tenth, 10%. That's what tithe means, a tenth belongs to the Lord. Before this was ever taught or delineated in Leviticus, in those scriptures, Abraham, one time some enemy kingdoms conquered where his nephew Lot was, and he went and he conquered five kings, and the first thing he does, he takes all their stuff, the goods of war, a lot of material stuff, silver and gold and cattle, and the first thing he does is finds the priest Melchizedek in Salem, and he takes a tenth and he gives it to the Lord. So very important principle. So there's a tithe, there's offerings. There was seven different types of offerings for different reasons Israel's gave. An offering, basically, in our context, is over and above our tithe. So a tithe goes into the house of God. It's a tenth of our income. An offering is over and above that toward a ministry project. And then there's something called alms. And very important, that because some people go, well, don't let anybody know what you're supposed to give. No, that's alms. Alms is when you help somebody that's in need of help. It's helping the poor, helping the underprivileged. And that's where he says, don't go around telling everybody you did it. Don't make a big deal about it. If you're going to, you know, don't shame them. Just help them. So there's three types of giving, tithes, offering, and alms. And he said, you're robbing me in tithes and offerings. Now watch the results of this. How have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. And look at this. You're cursed with a curse. I didn't write that. Now, that's clear from Scripture. One, and I'm not going to go around and ask everybody and all that, but I'm just saying, if I'm going to teach this and try to help you, the first thing you can look at, if you say, well, you know, bad things keep happening, first thing to check, I remember John Osteen, Joel's father. I love that guy. He was so cool. I remember a teaching he was doing on finances. He told a story about somebody who came into his office to get some help with their finances and their business, because he was very successful in that area. And the guy came and the guy told him about all these problems he had. And he said, well, let me ask you. He said, first question, do you tithe? And the guy goes, no. And he said, I can't help you. He said, what? He said, you know, you're a whiz. Can't you help me? He says, I can't help you. He says, because whatever I tell you is not going to help you, because you've opened the door to the devil. You're under curse. That was what John Osteen told the guy. He says, you're cursed with a curse here in the scripture, for you're robbing me, all of you, the whole nation of you. Bring it. How do you fix it? Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. So it's clear where the tithe goes, to your house of worship, your local church. Test me. Only place in scripture where God says you can test him. Test me now in this, and look what happens, says the Lord, if I'll not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out all kinds of bad things. No, what is it? The blessing. We're talking about the blessed life, living the blessed life. You want to open the windows of blessing, and then watch, we're going to follow this through, and close the door of the curse. Pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer. Who's the devourer? It's not God, it's the devil. And that's the curse. He says, I'm going to open the windows for blessing, close the door for the curse, so that it may not destroy the fruit of the ground. So what good does it do? Oh, I just got a raise. And then you have this big bill to pay. And it's like, oh, the more I increase, the more it goes out. Yeah, it's the curse. It's going out. Nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord. All the nations will call you what? Blessed. If you do this, if you honor, put God first in every area, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So Christmas is about the greatest blessing ever to come to man. But I don't want to just talk about the blessing, and we don't understand. It's you open the door to the blessing, but you open the door to the curse at the same time. It's like you never get there. You got to close the door to the curse. And this is a big, important part about Christmas, because when you think about Christmas, what do you think about? Giving. You think about love. You think about joy. Jesus came to remove our sins and free us from the curse. Look at this, Galatians chapter 3. Christ redeemed us from the curse. Yes. He became a curse for us, for as the scripture says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He had to be crucified on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing, look at this, the blessing of Abraham, it's a good blessing that he spoke over Abraham, and you and I can receive it, how? Through Christ, might come to the Gentile. You don't have to be a Jew. Actually, we are Christians. We are, the Bible says, spiritual Jews. We are Jews. We've been grafted in to the plant. That's great. Might come to the Gentiles so we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's what Christmas is all about. Giving, love, joy, peace, happiness, gifts. It's about blessing others. Isn't that what you think about? What can I do? How can I bless? Because we're blessed. Now, what are some of the blessings of serving God? Psalm 103. We're going to kind of wrap up with this. Psalm 103. I love this passage here. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is a psalm of David. He just keeps repeating it. He's talking to his soul. When you start feeling downcast in the mully grubs, feeling sorry for yourself, this is a good scripture. Talk to your soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Wait a minute. Don't think about, there's a couple of negative things going on. The more you think about them, the bigger they get bigger than God. Think about these kind of things. Think about this. Go right to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he tells himself, forget. Now, David went through some really hard times. God prophesied he's going to be a king, and now the king's trying to kill him and all this bad stuff happening. Who knows when this is one of those times. Maybe it was at Ziklag. He talked to himself. You and I have to do this. He says to himself, forget none of his benefits or blessings, all right? And then he begins to list them to himself, and you and I have to do this, who pardons all your iniquities. Man, let me tell you, I've been thinking about that this week, and I just, as I go over this, this is one of the passages that I have in my notes and that I go over almost every morning, some portion of it, and boy, this just always wrecks me when I get to this first one, who pardons all my iniquities. You can just camp right there. Oh my goodness. He pardons all my iniquities. Every day. He pardons. I come to him. You have to have a repentant heart. You can't beat that right there. He pardons all my iniquities. But he doesn't stop there. Look at this. There's more. Who heals all your diseases. Are you struggling with some area in your body right now? You need some healing? Just keep saying this to yourself. He heals all my diseases. I stand here today in good health by the grace of God. I can't tell you how many hundreds of battles I have fought, but here I am today. Sometimes it happened immediately. Sometimes it took hours praying. Sometimes it took weeks. One thing I believed for years. But here I am, and you never get to a place where you stop. There's always going to be stuff coming back because of the curse. But don't ever give up. Don't ever acquiesce. Keep saying, and it, you do what God tells you. If you need to go to a doctor or get surgery, the goal is to be like I am right now. I feel good. I'm in health because he heals all my diseases. Amen. Just keep saying that. Wherever you're at, don't say, no, that doesn't work for me. Yeah, it'll work for you. He heals all my diseases. I love that. Keep believing for that. Praise God. Who redeems your life from the pit. How many of you ever been in a pit? Come on, I've been in a pit. You know, the problem in the pit is that you add a Y to that, pity. You have a pity party in the pit. And you start, oh, here I am. No. When you're in the pit, say this: He redeems my life from the pit. Yeah, I'm not going to stay in the pit. I'm going to get out of this pit. Be like Joseph. He went from the pit to the palace, from the prison to the palace, because he didn't give up. He kept believing. You're going to get out of that pit. Don't stay in the pit. Don't have a pity party in the pit. Say, He redeems my life from the pit. What you're going through now, you're going through it. Don't send in a change of address. Don't say, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to camp here. Say, I'm going to go through this thing. I'm coming out the other side victorious. It's right there in that scripture. Redeems my life from the pit. Look at this. He crowns you with loving kindness. Yeah. And compassion. That's a good thing. He puts that crown. It's better than a silver crown. It's better than the golden crown. It's better than the triple crown. It's the crown of loving kindness and compassion that God wants to put on your head. Claim these things. Claim this. I'm talking about living the blessed life. I'm talking about it's not just going to happen to you. It's not like ripe cherries falling off a tree. You're going to have to fight for it with your mouth and with your thoughts, with your deeds, with your actions. But you and I can open the door to blessing and close the door to cursing. Amen. Crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Look at this. Who satisfies your years with junk. No, with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. That's a reference to a decision, apparently, that an eagle can make when he's older in life, that they've been documented. They can go up into a mountain or a desolate place and find a place where they can hide. And an old eagle, his eyesight's going, his strength is going, they will take their beak and pluck out all the feathers they can reach. There he is, just naked and bald. And then they'll take their beak and scrape it off on a rock. He's got no beak. And things form, scales form on their eyes. They're completely blind. And they stay like that for weeks and weeks. And then they grow back their feathers and they grow back their beak. And then eventually the scales fall off. And they say it's like they started all over again. They're brand new and they can take off and soar on the wings of an eagle. That's what he's saying here. That's what's right. Your youth. Maybe you feel like that old eagle that's wore out and your beak is tired and you can't see that good. And this God says, not by our own strength, but he says, by the blessing of God, our youth is renewed like that eagle starting all over again. The Lord performs righteous deeds, judgments for all who are oppressed. So here's the good news. Here's some fill in the blanks in your notes. Look at this. So you can think about it this week, what we just went over. Number one, pardons all my iniquities. Just meditate on that this week. We're going to be talking about the blessed life the rest of this month. Number one, promised right here in Psalm 103, he pardons all my iniquities. Number two, heals all my diseases. If you're struggling with something, don't just give in. Believe. Read this. Think about it. Meditate on it. Say, I'm going to be healed. Just show me the path for my healing, what I need to do. Number three, redeems my life from the pit. Yeah, he wants to redeem our life from the pit. Number four, crowns me with love and compassion. That's a good thing. He crowns me with love and compassion. Five, he satisfies my years with good things. Don't you love to be satisfied? It's only in God. It's not in the things of this world. Poor old Mick Jagger could. The world tells you if you get enough fame and fortune, he said he can't get no satisfaction. As hard as he tried, he tried, and he still can't get no satisfaction. If he just read Psalm 103, he'd find out that God satisfies my years with good things. Number six, he renews me from the inside out. See, some of the things we're just saying, God, if this just would happen on the outside. No, I'll tell you, you might not be looking forward to Christmas because of this or because of that. But I'm telling you, the joy, the strength, the blessing comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. It's not about that person calling and apologizing or showing up or bringing you a gift. It's about what's already on the inside of you, realizing what you've already got, the greatest thing that is in the whole universe, a relationship with God, to know God, to walk with God. Let me tell you, let me just say this, something bold, and don't throw anything at me, but Christ is all we need. Christ is all you need. Christ is all I need. Now, a lot of times we come to God and God, I need this. And yeah, but listen, if you've got Christ, you've got everything you really need. What do you need? And I put that in your notes. What do you need from God today? And it's okay to say I have some things. But listen, don't ever put anything ahead of God. God is a jealous God. And I'll tell you that. You say, oh, I thought God never did anything wrong. How is he jealous? See, if we're jealous, we're wrong because we're created beings. But God is complete in himself. He's not jealous from ulterior or selfish motives. He's jealous altruistically. He's jealous for us, for our hearts, for what's best for us. He's after us. He wants us. That's the best thing. What do you need from God today? I can tell you, there may be things that God wants to bring into your life, but they will come through a relationship with Christ and no other way. Christ really is all you need. Christmas is about the Christmas blessing. Don't be sad because the loved one is gone. Even God told Israel when Moses died at the end of 30 days, he said, that's enough. That's enough. It's okay. Now move on. And we're going to grieve when something happens in our life and we lose someone. But there is a time when you say, okay, that's enough. I can remember them. I can remember the good. But grieving has to stop. It's enough. Don't be sad because a loved one is gone. Don't be sad because a relationship is broken that you wanted to keep. Don't be sad because your dreams haven't come true yet. I think if we went around and we asked people, probably everybody in the room, you still got stuff that you're believing for. And sometimes we can let that make us sad. Let me just encourage you this Christmas, don't be sad because things aren't the way that you pictured them, the way that you wanted them. How many remember when you were a kid, you know, you had your heart set on this certain gift and it didn't come, oh, it ruined my Christmas. Come on. Hopefully we've matured beyond that. And we don't just think, oh, if I don't get that motorcycle or that thing, that new toy, that new Red Ryder, BB gun, and, you know, I'm going to be, and we turn it into something else, you know, if this person or that person or this thing, I'm not going to be happy. Let's mature beyond that and say, you know what, I've got so much. Don't say I'm not going to be happy because, don't be sad because things aren't going the way you want. But let me encourage you with this and just begin to meditate on this. Be glad because you have the greatest gift of all. Be glad because you have the best friend of all. You have the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Listen, if you're saying, God, I'm so sad because I don't have this person or this thing in my life, what does that say to God? Is that really what we want to tell God? Be glad because you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Be glad because you're never alone. Some people, they tell me, oh, it was a terrible Christmas because I was alone. Really? You're not saved? Really? If you're a Christian, are you ever alone? He said, I'll never leave you. See, we're forgetting the word of God, or we're disrespecting God. You're never alone. You're never alone. Not if you're born again, if you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. You're never alone. Be glad because every day is Christmas when you know Christ. Be glad because you're blessed and highly favored. The favor of God follows you wherever you go. Be glad because you're impossible to curse if you're walking close with God. Be glad because you are in the top few percent of the world's population. You are. Right here in this room. If you got up this morning and you had a roof over your head and you had enough clothes to wear and you had electricity and you had running water in your house, you had a refrigerator and some change in the drawer, even if you don't have a job, you're in the top 8% of the world's population. And if you've got a job, you're in the top 2%. And if you've got an income of over $15,000 a year, you're a 1%er. There's something. Don't go around in the mully grubs. look at reality, you're probably in this room, almost everybody's in the top 1% of the world's population. You're blessed to be a blessing. Be glad that you've got a little bit left over to be a blessing to somebody else. Be glad because you live in the greatest nation on earth, right here in the United States of America. Be glad because you have another day to live by faith. Be glad because you have another chance to lead someone to Christ. Be glad that because of Christ, you can have a blessed life and close the door to the devil. Did anybody get anything out of this today? Would you start thinking about a blessed life? Let's just change our thinking. Let's just pray right now. Maybe some of you came in thinking about how bad you've got it, how rough it is, and what you've been through, and what you lost, and what you don't have, and what you need. And maybe we just need to turn that around and start thinking about what I do have. All the blessings that I have, the freedom of America. Over half of the world lives under despotic dictatorship rulership. Oh, we're so blessed, the freedoms that we have in this country. Freedom to worship, the fact that we're in this building today and we're not worried about stormtroopers coming in and putting us in jail because we own a Bible or proclaim Christ as our Lord. We're so blessed. We have so much to be thankful for. What is in my mouth? Capital One wants to know what's in your wallet. I want to know what's in your mouth. What's in your mouth? What's coming out of my mouth this Christmas, the rest of this year? Let's start putting good things in our mouth, talking about how blessed I am, the good things that are coming into my life. Lord, we just come before you this morning, and we admit that sometimes we complain a lot. And we complain, and we tell you all the things that we need. But here this morning, we just want to step back a second and just be thankful. Lord, I thank you for the gift of salvation. I thank you for eternal life. I thank you for the freedoms that I have. I thank you that I'm never alone, that you live on the inside of me. I thank you that you've healed my body so many times. Thank you that you've kept me going this long. Thank you that you're for me and not against me. Thank you that you're on the inside of me, big on the inside of me. Thank you that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Thank you that I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Thank you that you are on my side and one plus God makes a majority. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's just start giving the Lord thanks right now. Just what do you have to be thankful for? Just begin to thank him. Thank him for something. Thank him for something you have. Very practical. Just begin to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Help us to have a thankful heart. They overcame, Revelation said, they, it's us, overcame him, that's the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and loving not their lives even unto death. Hallelujah. I got a very important question for you right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you a question. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. Think so. Hope so. Not sure. That's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. You say, yeah, but, you know, hey, does anybody really know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. You need to know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Well, someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. You might be here today and you say, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm not where I need to be with God, and I want to get back on track with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Either one of those two apply to you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. Just slip up your hand right where you're at, and I'm going to lead you in prayer. Thank you. Anybody else? It's a new day, fresh start. Anybody? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Pray this prayer with me. Everybody help them. Dear Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come and live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. Meant business with God.